All right, welcome to Course in Miracles. So, the Course has an interesting discussion for us tonight. The book is talking in this section we're reading about the obstacles to peace. And so we're working through the addiction, for lack of a better word, that we have to continuing to focus with our mind on something that's not our mind. It's a replacement or a substitute for the freedom of mind. We found in our creative abilities, we've managed to chase our experience away from infinity, away from pure joy, away from creation itself, so that we can have a chosen experience. Hey, welcome.
Hi.
And the experience is something that is no longer the freedom of mind. In fact, it's the perfect set of limits, if that's what you're after. You didn't. Perfect set of limits is experienced in the body. In fact, if you look at the idea of infinity or freedom or creativity, and you said if you wanted to get as far as you can away from real freedom, you'd be hard-pressed to still have an identity of any type, to find something more restrictive than being in a human body, only because of all the inherent limits that go with something that has to breathe, has to eat, it can't be too cold, but it can't be too hot either, it's got to sleep in a certain, you know, it's on and on and on. And yet, it's where we, as in the human experience, are seeking for freedom, happiness, worst of all, love.
Worst of all.
Yeah, worst of all, because we had to invent a new kind of love. You can't have love in limit, but you still want it. You still want love. You, who you really are, have only one true desire. You have only one hunger that will continue to ask for satisfaction no matter what, and that's for love. Because it's what you are. And you recognize it in others, however deep it might be hidden, every once in a while. And that just, that's the spark that is the God in you. The namaste is ignited in moments like that. It will never go away. It'll never go away. Don't worry. Never go away. Meanwhile, we have found the perfect obstacle to freedom, the very thing we seek. And it's in this focus on the body as you. So, tonight, I would like you to look at a particularly nasty experience in the body that seems to come right along with it. And it's so automatic that why would you even question its reality? It's always there. I mean, you can't get away from it. You just try to navigate your way around suffering. Suffering! So, let's just think about this idea of suffering a little bit. And remember, when we meet here, when we meet with A Course in Miracles, what we're doing is we're busting the ego. You gotta catch the ego at what it does. Let me tell you what does the suffering, right? Let's bust the ego tonight. Is suffering real? Do you know of suffering? Do you know? Do you personally know of suffering? Has suffering been part of your experience in your life? What is suffering? And you know, it might be helpful to go to the opposite of suffering first. What is the absolute polar opposite of suffering? So now, what is suffering? How would you define that? Now, if you're going to suffer, think about a component. Think about something that has to be present in your mind so that you suffer. And you recognize it's suffering we're talking about. Is there a difference between pain and suffering? Let's work on that first. Think about pain versus suffering. What is it? Pick something about suffering that makes it different from just pain, so we can bust this thing. What has to be present in your mind so that you experience suffering? See, the default in this world is victimhood. The default in this world is a powerlessness. You just deal with stuff and you suffer whether you want to or not. Well, let's bust this whole idea. Pam, what has to be present in your mind so it's not just pain, it's suffering?
Kind of a woe is me aspect, like a self, like a feeling of lack, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure that how deep I've gone into this yet, but sort of a, yeah, like a feeling of a feeling of not accepting, you know, like that expression, pain's inevitable, but suffering's a choice.
Exactly.
So, you know, sort of like an impasse, like a disagreement.
With what's happening. It's happening.
It's happening. So
the cut is there, whatever's there.
Yeah.
The belly ache.
Yeah.
The back pain.
The heartache.
The heartache. It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
The wheels are already in motion. And there's a disagreement with what's happening.
There's kind of an impasse.
Yes.
Yes. Because suffering is really, I mean, it's a great topic, man. It's such a good topic. I guess it's, yeah, there's a, what's missing is the acceptance of the moment, I guess. Right?
Yep. Yeah. It's, we can look at where the pain is happening. It's kind of mechanical. Heartbreak. You know, he said, he did, he went.
Right. Or grief or whatever, yeah.
Grief, died. Yeah. Yeah, out there. But that's the pain.
Right.
The pain is not as uncomfortable. It's the suffering that's uncomfortable. Sharon, thank you. What's up with suffering? How does that happen?
I guess you just believe in the lie, I guess.
You believe in it. Wow.
Because usually it's just your head just working itself into a lather.
Yeah.
And you just, that's true. And then you just believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I can just speak for myself, I think.
Oh yeah, well that's the point with Pam's too, is the head is working itself up, is doing something with the situation. That's already, wheels are in motion, it ain't gonna change on the outside, that's but the head, the inside, starts working it up.
It isn't.
Yeah. It's the head working it up. David, what's something about suffering? How do you, mind does it, has to be present about something has to be present with suffering.
Just a bunch of hogwash I make up in my mind is what I find out. Used to have a lot of, you know, stuff would happen, irritate you, being pissed off for days, and now it's like, it don't happen no more. Because you can get rid of it. So it's basically catching it, realizing when it's happening, and just let it go.
So the suffering was hogwash, so it's not it's factual.
Yeah, it's so stuff I get let go of. It was really cool, and I realized suffering is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I realized that you don't have to have it, because if you go back to like Catholic school and all that stuff, you know, you must suffer to, you know. They created a thing where it's you're supposed to go out and suffer.
Yeah, that you earn something with suffering.
And even back then, I didn't like that idea. But it's cool now that that is gone.
Nice.
You can throw it all away.
Nice. Good.
It still happens.
Yeah. But you know that it's made up.
Yes. Hogwash.
Hogwash. Yeah. Mark. Suffering.
Well, it's like a... you have a state of mind that that you're at war with. Mm. You know, it's like part of you knows that you want something more, and you can't have it in that moment. Mm. And so you're fighting against that, and so it's an unwanted state of mind.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Rejecting the situation.
It's what you were saying. It's, you know, denial of what's so.
Yeah.
You know.
Disagreement with itself.
Because I, you know, a lot of times the way through it is the acceptance. You know.
Yeah. An undoing, a releasing of trying to go some other way than what's already in motion, what's obviously happening, or the inevitable. Going against the inevitable, it's suffering.
Well, something's unpleasant, you know, and you reject that unpleasant.
You reject it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get a really serious pain, you know, I'd injure myself with a power tool or something, and you're just going to have to put up with it for a while until it heals. You tape it, and, you know, it's throbbing and the whole bit. It's just going to be a while. You know, you just have to put up with that.
Right.
Day, 2 days, 3 days, and it's going to be all right.
But you don't have any choice with that. There's something about suffering where it seems like there should be some way out of it. You know,
that's like the worst, isn't it?
When you physical
frustration part.
Yeah.
Of it. Physical pain is almost easier. You cut yourself with a heart. It's gonna hurt.
Easy.
Remember when I did my hand and they gave me all those painkillers and I woke up in panic attack, which I knew was the drug. In an instant, I knew it wasn't me.
Mm.
And I thought I'd rather be in pain. Like, it's not working anyway, and this stinks. Yeah. It's easy. Physical pain, I think. That's not so hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, maybe the mental, where you coulda, shoulda, woulda, and maybe still can.
No.
Go get that man. Call him.
Yeah.
Tell him.
Yeah.
Wait, doesn't... Maybe he didn't matter so much he slept with your best friend.
It matters.
Oh, it matters?
Yeah.
Well, then you can't call him. But maybe you should've called him before he slept with your best friend. Maybe you should've done something then. Suffering. Well, what's up with suffering? What has to be present for you to suffer?
Well, it's self-inflicted. It's a perception that like a slap in the face to your ego if you think about a situation like that. If you perceive it like that, that's what you think about, and causes a lot of suffering.
Yeah, you're suffering. It's happening to you. Yeah. You're losing. self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And you're losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen, what's up with suffering?
Well, it seems like it's almost somewhat contextual. It's like the culmination of all the ideals and standards and beliefs that you have that aren't fulfilled, repetitively not fulfilled, and keep looking in all the worldly ways for satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then repetitively bumping up against disappointment, despair, but continuing to look for worldly body ways to either distract ourselves from it sufficiently. Mm-hmm.
That's the context.
I could teach that class.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, so they're just, it's there was a period of time in my life where it was very the suffering was very evident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tacked on some beliefs to suffering, like it makes you a better person, or you know, that kind of nonsense. Mm. So I actually indulged, to a high degree for a while.
Yes,
In the sense that it builds character, you mean?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, if you don't know that space, then you don't have the whole picture. And there may be some truth to that. However, I will admit I was swimming in it.
Yes, there's an attraction to suffering.
Yeah,
because it could buy you something.
Absolutely. Well, then and then trying to hone my worldly skills at finding a way out. Mm. And some of that was spiritual seeking.
Mm.
But the theme is looking for it, not finding it, looking for it, not finding it, looking for it, not finding it.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And that really is where the suffering resides for me.
Mm. Yes.
And then there's a couple things that y'all said. And it's not so much because I've tried to back myself out of something in the last week. And how I got there was... something was going on with my dog.
I'll bring a chair.
A source of suffering. So I had all kinds of meaning attached to what was going on, which had me really worked up. And then I really got to, well, but here's what's actually happening. She just wouldn't eat breakfast, that's all. You know, but I had some catastrophic thing going on, you know.
Yeah.
All time wow, well, the teacher gets up and greets you, boy.
Uh-huh.
The teacher gets up and greets you. That's something.
Yeah. But the dog is another.
Well, over here.
What's that?
The dog is another rich context.
Yeah.
There is all sorts of suffering by association with the dog.
Yeah.
That one's free.
And for somebody who's a parent, it's the same thing with their kid. A mother could say, I could suffer more or less, but don't let my child suffer. That's a pain I cannot endure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. It's your
you
dog.
I'll sit over there. I'll sit here.
I love this context. That's the point where we're going with this. Very good. Yeah. Very good. There's got to be a context for you to be suffering in. In Walt's context, he figures out it's his ego because it's happening to him. That's why it sucks.
Wow, it's good to be here.
Because the suffering is happening to him. Julie, what's up with suffering? What has to be going on?
Oh, you get a free pass?
I don't think they're ready. I'll come back to people who missed it.
Usually the person that comes in late gets the question.
Exactly.
There's something special going on if they're suffering.
Yeah, that's really true.
That's what I know.
Yeah. Yeah, the question for any of you newcomers here who want to answer it is what? We're trying to bust the ego on suffering.
Wow.
You come. The world seems to say you're gonna suffer because it's too hot, too cold. The food portion was too small, or it was too much butter, or something was wrong. What are you gonna do? You're just gonna have to deal with this uncomfortable situation.
Keep going.
Just keep going. There might be some suffering going on there. See, pain is one thing. Suffering is what's really uncomfortable.
No problem.
Yeah?
Suffering is optional.
We want to bust the ego, though, because we tend to spend time with the suffering part. As Pam started out with, the pain's already in motion. The heartbreak thing, the ship has sailed. You've already said those last words that says you probably won't call each other anytime soon. It's happened, but the heart... suffering is happening, even though the pain is obviously inevitably happening. Gone, done. What is the suffering? You can think about it again and again and over and over and over again.
Yes. That's the truth.
Just not fun. And yet it happens in your mind. This is where the suffering is. The pain may be out there. You fine. Convince me of that.
Which mind?
Yeah, that's what I agree.
So, Julie, what has to be present for suffering? What's going on with suffering?
Well, I will have continued to forget what I really am. For me, suffering is being wanting anything, either wanting to keep exactly what I have or wanting the situation to change entirely.
Yes.
And it's really I agree with Walt about self-inflicted, and it is a forgetting what I am.
Yeah. And you also brought up the word situation. Wanting the situation to be different. Forgetting who you are, it's two massive things here. Mm-hmm. Forgetting your true identity, yes. And then the real suffering, the tactical suffering, is wishing that the context would somehow be fixed. This thing surrounding me, this person, this time, this whatever, and whatever it is, just adjust it and it'll be okay. I'll be happy again. But since it's not going to adjust right away, you're just going to stay home and worry about it. But that's what happens so often, right? Let's bust the ego on the way that it steals your peace. The section we're working on is called The Obstacles to Peace. Big ego busting going on. Good.
Mm-hmm. Anybody here not involved in that? Is there anybody in here that doesn't have the problem that comes in? All right, that blows us away. I know that's my problem. I got a problem with that too.
Yeah.
Ego.
Yeah.
Big time.
Big time. Welcome back, Dick.
Thank you.
Some people listen to these recordings, and I got like, "Where's Dick?" They email. Where it happened? Where's Dick?
Who's that guy that keeps saying, "I do not
my book
know"?
Five times.
They want to know the voice that keeps saying, "I do not know," because that's the wisest thing one can say. That was Dick.
Kim, what's present with suffering?
Well, I kept thinking isolation.
Oh, ooh, nice.
Because when I'm suffering, the separation is remarkable. It's very visceral for me. I can feel it. I'm totally isolate. Everything around me takes on a new meaning, and not in a good way.
Yes.
It has a different interpretation than what it was, what it did when I was centered.
Yes.
When I was connected.
Yeah.
So when we were going through the meditation, I kept thinking isolation, and in that isolation everything is just dark and fearful and cold and separate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't like being in that separate state.
Yes.
And I can't think clearly. I don't reason properly.
Yes.
And and I suffer. And it could be the result of my boyfriend sleeping with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the result of somebody said something that just seemed a little off to me that I will take into a whole, you know, I mean, there are extremes within that, but the process is exactly the same. The end result is exactly the same. Sometimes the levels seem greater, depends on how far I've isolated and how much fear I am in, that I don't deserve to be connected to God. When I get in that place of unworthiness,
yes,
I am totally isolated
yes.
and fearful. And
yes.
Yeah.
Right. That is the experience of the ego.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you feel you have to punish yourself when you feel like that?
I am punishing myself when I am feeling
that. No, like that. Do you feel that you need to punish yourself?
You judge yourself. I probably used to, but now I just know that that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's busting the ego, yeah. seeing it. It's just like, you know, they say about addictions, is there, or any habit you want to change, first notice what you're doing. Mm. Get out of denial that it's happening. You see it is a huge part of changing anything. And now, when you get this alone feeling, you now can see what Walt's talking about. It's the ego, and everybody here has mentioned, it's the inside job that makes the isolation occur. Yeah. Oh my God, you can't ever go back from that.
Oh, we can try.
You can try.
I give it my best shot every once in a while.
Yeah.
I think what she's talking about is the... like the cost of suffering.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like if you suffer, mm-hmm. you're going to become isolated. If you allow yourself, if you indulge in the suffering.
Chicken egg.
Yeah.
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 And there's, you know, cost. Suffering is also when I'm preoccupied with past thoughts.
Uh-huh.
That's suffering.
Uh-huh. Some other time.
Something. Not now, it's not here, but we're carrying it.
Yeah.
You're experiencing it as if it is present.
Mm.
The present memory.
Yes, yeah. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the more alone you feel, and you felt somewhat alone before, it was a little uncomfortable. But after an hour of it, you really feel alone. Oh boy. Isn't that interesting? How that cycle, that circle even, can feed your misery, loves company, and it feeds on itself. We need to bust the ego so the next time this pattern starts, you can step out of it. Like you do, just by knowing, oh, it's my ego doing this. I know where it goes. Take not one step into descent to hell, says page 494. Take not one step into descent to hell, for having take the first one, you will not recognize the next ones that follow, and they will follow. Who said poor me? Somebody said poor me. Watch out for these poor me. Watch
my
out.
Humbug.
Watch out for your own pity party. Watch out, because you are the arbiter of whether or not you're happy.
Yes.
Whether or not you're suffering is up to you.
That's right.
Watch that choice. Take not one step down, because the momentum is two steps down. Three steps down. Yeah. Carol, what has to be present for suffering?
Well, self-inflicted anxiety, I think.
Yeah.
And the hamster wheel.
That's it, the hamster wheel, that's right. Yes. Going back over it and over it. Looking again, like Wendy says, preoccupied and rehearsing and rehearsing.
Oh, and you know that you can get out of it, and somehow you're just letting it go around.
Yeah. Yes.
We do need our exercise after.
Use it or lose it.
Isn't that busting the ego? To see it going around and around. You know it does that.
Yeah, part of you is watching that.
Right?
Right.
That's busting the ego. To see that that's a pattern that somehow the ego uses to help you feel more alone, to make you feel more miserable about yourself. That's part of what the ego does. In order to block you from peace, it's an obstacle to peace we're talking about. It's built in to staying in a body. You see, if you suddenly got ultimately peaceful, then love would be not too far behind. And your mind would start seeing the sameness in things instead of the differences. You wouldn't feel this horrible threat to your survival, and you would start to embrace things. And your mind would start to understand from a larger perspective, and you would begin to wake up from the dream of separation and aloneness entirely. If you got so peaceful as to put on your Christ vision. So the ego's whose job is to make you stay separate and live struggling in a body, which is not evil. It's just sad. It's just not loving. It's not joyful. But it's not evil. It's not sinful. It's just not what apparently a bunch of us do not want to continue to do.
When you see someone else in that state, you can see it so well.
Yes. Yeah,
that's so true.
Yes. Yes. And having been there yourself, you also know what you get.
It's something conveniently ignored.
Right.
Mom? I love that metaphor, though, because my mind, I started going, like, I had this hamster when I was a kid, and I took it even a step further and thought, and every once in a while, you get to come off the hamster wheel and go in the ball, and then you can carry your prison around with you and just collide into walls. Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, right.
The hamster ball.
That's pretty much what we do. Right?
Yeah.
Seems like an improvement, the ball.
It sounds more playful. But you're banging your head against the wall.
Masako, what's up with suffering? What has to be present for you to be suffering?
For me, it's always to believe in two powers.
Oh.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yep. And the power that I would not prefer is on and winning. The second power, not the loving power, not the peace, not the sharing power, not the creative power, no. This other power that opposes God is working. Duality. Yeah. Two powers. Very, very difficult. Innocent. But completely wrong and impossible perception. And suffering would have to follow if there's two powers. Yeah. Michaeline, what has to be present for suffering?
I wrote a lot about this one when I came out of the meditation.
Yeah.
Well, there was a song, so I'll start out with the song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places.
Yes.
And then what came to me was a belief in a lack of something, like believing that something is not there. And that includes loss of a person, of a dream, of something that's important to me.
Yes.
And the pain that comes from the belief in the lack of it.
There it is. Oh my God.
Lack of awareness.
Can we just stop there for a second? She just said the pain comes from the belief in the lack of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is.
You feeling that?
Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah.
I felt it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Something's missing.
Nothing's so, missing. Huh?
Nothing's missing.
So now, what is it like to have no belief in the lack of it?
Okay.
No belief, no thought about it missing.
Mm. And I can tell you how that works.
Well, how much easier is that?
Go ahead.
I had the experience of that because I've had a lot of loss in my life, but also when I want the love of, you know, someone else that I care about, it's not coming to me, right? Once I wake up from this illusion that I'm going to get it from them and I allow what I feel to come through, the illusion disappears, the suffering disappears. You know, it doesn't exist anymore. I am free to love. I am free to be. The other thing I wrote was a sort of an expectation of permanence.
That's good. All right, yeah, you got a lot of
ego that expects permanence. It has a desire for something who's not changed to be a certain way.
Yes.
Like our loved ones to be with us all the time and care for us and the work that we do, we love, and the things that we imagine are going to bring us all this joy and happiness to be permanent, and that's just the huge joke.
Sometimes we think that the things that we are not happy about are also permanent,
right,
and we're never going to find
them. Exactly. It's the duality that Masako talks about. It's the expectation of permanence, be it the one way or the other.
Nice.
That was really good.
Nice. And that what we're stuck in is going to last forever. Even though all through your life they've always changed out. Just keeps changing and moving. And
what I have found out is if I don't change my mind, it will change without my approval. Without my, and not necessarily because I wasn't part of the creative process. I was only part of the problem.
Yes. That's Walt's ego that he's talking about. Part of the problem maker. Yeah, expecting permanence. What is it with this?
I got through saying what I was going to say.
Oh.
I would like to add a little bit to it, if it's okay.
Please.
So, I ran into a deer this week. And it wrecked my car. And I'm kind of old, so I have a limited amount of money for if and when I ever do retire. And I thought, I really can't afford to buy a new car, and I love the car I have, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got to thinking about it, and I said to myself, the worst thing about this is that I think it's a problem. And that the problem's going to last. And that was, when I realized that, I realized when you were talking, that the belief that suffering won't go away is the belief that the situation is not going to go away is what causes me suffering. And it's not the situation itself. I also wanted to make a comment of something that Glenn said. It's off the subject a little bit, but I don't worry about whether people love me or not, because I know that the part of them that is love does love. Just as it loves everything else.
And it only loves.
And that's all it does. So if they're not acting like they're loving, that's about them. It's not about me. And it's not about me not getting their love. It's about me.
And would they like to love, even though they're not acting like loving?
It's their cry for love.
Would they like to love?
Let's say that.
Yeah.
They would like to love, and they would like to be loved, and they just don't realize that they are.
Just blocked. It's blocked. There's an obstacle to peace going on in their mind.
So anyway, the fear of whatever's happening now continuing, and it never does. And then I say to myself, well, what the heck?
Yes.
This isn't going to last any longer than it takes me to take
What a glutton for punishment. That if something goes wrong, we immediately think it's going to continue to go wrong. Even though it changes every single time. 100% throughout our lives. Things just keep changing. Yeah, let's ignore that because this one hurts.
What's sick and twisted is I get a little freaked out when things get really good.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for the shit to hit the fan. So I noticed, I even noticed today, I can't remember the circumstances, but just something about, you know, not indulging myself in feeling good, like just... just like authentically just being present that things are working. And because if we get too deep into that, then right around the bend is what's going to go wrong.
Laugh today, you're going to cry tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't believe in doing that. So.
Good, that's awesome.
Did anybody come up with what's the opposite of suffering?
Oh, bliss.
Yeah, enjoyment. Bliss,
enjoyment.
Presence.
Presence.
Joy is trust. And truth.
Truth and trust. Mm.
Not thinking.
Yeah, not even thinking. Just going with the flow. That's the opposite.
Yeah.
Suffering is right clamped on. That's good, Walt.
Yeah, you'll notice that thought, when you don't thought, well, there's no such thing as suffering when you get rid of your thoughts. Sustained thoughtlessness.
Yes, which goes back to... what's it like to not believe, not think of the lack? And, now this is key now, not think about the loss of the lack.
The end of suffering cannot be lost. That is one of my favorite quotes.
Beautiful quote.
In the less beautiful.
The end of suffering cannot be lost.
I've held on to that one. That's beautiful.
Good.
The Buddha is saying, no thinking, no problem.
Mm. Yeah. I do have to say, though, I have to, when I'm in the right space, which I was finally today, I had to become awake to what I was doing to myself.
Yes. Mm. Seeing it is seeing it. Yeah. Is this huge part of the solution? I don't know, 90%? It's same with forgiveness. It's no use learning about forgiveness if you don't know what it is you're going to forgive. Forgiveness is a release, but it has to be a release of something specific. Forgiveness is just a concept. Without applying it to a release to your stinking thinking, what matters to you? Forgiveness as a concept is meaningless. Forgiveness applied to the way you keep holding on to those regrets, even though it's been years. That's where forgiveness is really handy, to release the burdens that you place on your own mind. That's suffering. That's the use of forgiveness. Yeah, good.
You can't point in the other direction, can you?
No,
yeah, you might be able to. You could point out there and tell me that there's pain. Okay, I you know, point to the part of your body that I think I could. I would have to argue with that. But when you talk suffering, you can't point. You can't point outside.
There's no finger for that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is one, we won't use it. I wasn't going to say that, Wendy. I haven't been here a long time. I'm going to behave.
Lemire, you ready to talk about suffering?
Can I say one more thing?
Well, hold on, Luanne.
For me, I suffered probably 3/4 of my life.
Ah.
I didn't really have a mother that she was making roads, and I had to stay outside with the bulls and the dog. And I wanted to cross that bull pasture to school and save me a lot of time, but my dog wouldn't let me do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I went through years and years of husband that yelled all the time and different kinds of suffering, I decided to give it up. And it was kind of like when I got into the knowledge that God puts His Spirit inside of everything that exists, I had to really realize that that is true. I could feel differently then. I could become what was within me. And when I got in a situation where there was going to be a lot of suffering, and that happened very recently, instead of buying into the suffering, I bought into going within and not letting any thought go of what I was being tortured with.
Yes.
And that worked. I was supposed to, after this treatment I was supposed to have, I was supposed to stay in bed for 2 weeks and not recover for several months. And I was so determined not to get into suffering and pain and all of that anymore that I just kept with that feeling of the spirit that was placed inside of me. And I did it so fluently and so purposeful that the torture that was going on to my body was not felt.
Here we are. That's like the one power versus two powers.
Exactly.
One power says you're just experiencing what's going on, and you're choosing peace, you're choosing love, you're choosing to go through it, to keep going, versus objecting to what's going on, where suffering would just bloom and you'll drown in it. And pretty soon you're going to feel very alone, because it's just getting worse, and it's going to isolate you from happiness even further. Or you could stick with just one power, and even now with the treatment, even now with the discomfort, even now the one power is just continuing to unfold.
It is. I have to really, really get fierce with the ego, because it tries very hard
to take
over. So I just say, ego, and don't come back.
Ego!
And it works for me.
That's good. Thank you,
since that I've discovered that I just love people, and I know that that spirit was placed in everything that exists, I mean, in the readings I'm doing, and I have to agree with that, because when I look at birds or squirrels or trees or people, you know, they're all, every one of you is so beautiful. There's a beauty that I can see in everyone, even this lady here.
I'm proud to say this is my mom.
I adopted her a long time ago, and I never let her go.
Thank you, Lamira. Brother John, what's up with suffering?
I'm going to try to look at a larger picture and say it's a sort of necessary karmic expedient to endure suffering in your life.
A necessary karmic expedient?
Yes. Because it's it makes it all makes more sense to what you're learning from your experience. And this is the enforcer in this drama would be unconscious guilt that you would feel, or not feel, but made to understand through your life's expectations and what goes on for you in your lifetime as a learning experience.
It seems like you have no choice but to learn from suffering.
Right, that's right.
However, as useful as it may be, and for lifetimes it can be, there's still only one reality, and there's only one time, and there's only one time that you are ever alive, and there's only one place that the one power exists. You see, time and space are part of the invention. The 3D nature, so that separation can occur, requires this time so that everything doesn't all happen at once that you think is possible, and space so it doesn't all happen to you. Separation makes it happen over there, not me. Time, some other time. It's a division. It's a way that you can divide up unity, and infinite freedom would have to occur now, not some other time. Yeah. Nonetheless, the dream is smoked up so that we've got karma, we've got the past as the way that we to thank for our lessons and our continuity. The world is spun out of a past addiction, and making the past a teacher. With it comes guilt, and there's a future, so that you got a place for fear. Because this thing that's terrible is going to continue tomorrow and next month and maybe forever. That's suffering. But it's in your mind. And as I remind you now at this moment, no matter how bad the suffering gets, to wake up means to come into the present moment where you already are. To be relieved of your suffering means you come out of the future, which never
comes. It's been a long
time. So silly.
It never came still, you're right.
Isn't it? It still never came. The one you're worried about.
The future never comes. It never did.
It's such a silly fixation to worry about something that never comes.
So true.
Or about the past, which is over forever and cannot touch you. So
it disappeared.
You have to redream it.
I don't know if I want to redream
it. But in order to have it.
Right. But that's the suffering.
Right. It is perfectly made by you.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. By you, director.
Yeah.
Producer.
Only you can press those buttons.
Awesome.
So what's the solution? What's the antidote? It's waking up exactly into the present moment where nothing is happening. Which Walt said, no thought. Remember? What's the opposite of suffering? Walt says, is no thought. And Michaeline touched on it too. She says, well, what if I didn't have the thoughts of lack? And then go one step further. Now, release the thoughts of not having a thought of lack.
But isn't it impossible for a human being to not have thoughts?
Aha. Yes. I
mean, we're always, you know, we might aspire to
emptying
our mind, but we're always going to have thoughts.
Because what do you do with them? I mean, that's the key.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're still going to have thoughts.
Yes.
Not really.
You can
meditate. Come on. You know, take those thoughts and put them into this exact
that's a thought.
It's fine. Take it. Use it. Use the thought.
Yeah.
Put it.
But not a thought of the future, not a thought of the past.
Yeah.
And not a thought about the thought. Just
what I'm saying is like denying that saying that you don't have thoughts is
completely like unnecessary.
Denying what's real. Denying the.
It's denying life.
Yeah.
He's denying your experience. And all that. And absolutely no problem at all.
Yeah. Well, there is a cultural context, too, that says you got to think about every fucking thing. And you got to think about it until it's over, you know?
Yeah, that's like a different. Yeah. That's like an act of. It's more act. Yeah.
Yes.
Saying, yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I think the problem is not that we have thoughts, it's that we believe them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what was so powerful about what you were saying was what I really heard loudly about what you were saying was your belief in it.
Right.
That's the juicy part.
Yes.
Once you've gotten to the point where you can distinguish that not only is it a thought, but that you believe in it.
And identify with it.
Identify. Yeah.
Because if we identify with what we think, then,
happens.
And you believe
that's
it.
The ego's in power, folks. I mean,
and you believe it could harm you. You have to do a lot to get to the place of suffering.
Yeah.
You have to get into a whole lot of illusion.
Hmm. Yeah. And to step out of it just means to do nothing.
Silence.
No, it means everything. To do nothing. Use your thoughts. Great.
That's
to,
everything.
To do it. And this is where infinity is. Because if you do somehow, okay, it's great meditation if you haven't done it recently. What does it mean to get absolutely present and really do nothing? To get inside of the inside, in between the seconds. Just for an instant. Can you experience the simplicity of right now? This is a door. This is door A. This is the door to infinity. Not that you would go somewhere else, but you would come in and then inside of in and discover the spaciousness. It's a complete antidote to any pain. It's what I do. When I get these difficult pains, when things go on, I just step in and then inside and, wait, you can't feel it.
Yeah.
That's a visual for me of imagining myself on the vertical of extension rather than the horizontal plane of space
Beautiful.
And time. But if I can keep myself right here, right now, and
yes.
You know, it's a place of peace for me.
Beautifully
said. When I focus on my breathing, just breathing.
Yes.
Just the feeling of it. The sound of it. There's nothing else.
Just to be that present. Yeah.
But that's why we've had mantras for so long.
Yep.
To, you know, it's been a useful tool.
Yep, a way to step out of the monkey mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rick, you got something for us? What's up with suffering? You know, we're going to give you a chance to work it. Wendy, you want to say anything you want to say before we move on?
To add to it.
good. Okay, so everybody, jump into the text, page 412. Okay, now, we're looking at paragraph 3.
What page?
Page 412, 412 in the text.
I opened it and I was only 2 pages tall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pam, would you read for us paragraph 3?
The Holy Spirit's messengers?
Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit's messengers are sent far beyond the body, calling the mind to join in holy communion and be at peace. Such is the message that I gave them for you. It is only the messengers of fear that see the body, for they look for what can suffer. It is a sacrifice to be removed from... Is it a sacrifice to be removed from what can suffer? The Holy Spirit does not demand you sacrifice the hope of your body's pleasure. It has no hope of pleasure, but neither can it bring you fear of pain. Pain is the only sacrifice the Holy Spirit asks, and this He would remove.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? This is the part and parcel addiction. Okay, first let's do a little overview. Turn to page in the back of the book, page 425 in the workbook. And let's get a reminder of what the body is all about. I'm starting with Sharon when she gets there.
425?
425, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Back of the book.
Okay.
Go for it. The body.
What is the body? The body is a fence the Son of God imagines He has built to separate parts of His self from other parts. It is within this fence He thinks He lives, to die as it decays and crumbles. For within this fence He thinks that He is safe from love. Identifying with His safety, He regards Himself as what he as to, I'm sorry, himself as what his safety is. How else could he be certain he remains within the body, keeping love outside?
The body will not stay. Yet, this he sees as double safety, for the Son of God's impermanence is proof that Spence's work and do the task is mine assigns to him. For Britha's oneness still remain untouched. Who could attack and who could be attacked? Who could be victor? Who could be his prey? Who could be victim? Who the murderer? And if he did not die, what proof is there that God's eternal Son can be destroyed?
Pretty big stuff.
Yes.
Passive. Mark?
The body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it. But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for.
Oh, just like that. What, would you read that same paragraph over again?
The body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it. But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for.
So with the mind, so follows your experience. We can change the purpose. Indeed, the body was made as a perfect separation mechanism to block you from experiencing love. It's working.
Wow.
It's working. But now, having awoken and seeing the addiction, we can now turn up and toward the light. Yeah. Rick?
The body is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. Though it was made to fence him into hell without escape, yet has the goal of heaven been exchanged for the pursuit of hell. The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. Now is the body whole. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill.
There's no room for sin here. There's no room for some unforgivable mistake for having been in a body for any amount of time or number of times. There's no reason that that is a sin. What there is the ability to appeal to the unifying part of your mind called the Holy Spirit that would translate the difficulties into joining. To appeal to the nature of one power everywhere. To wake up to that. Not two powers. Two powers is a forever battle of separation and duality. But to wake up to the one power everywhere. Even there. This is true freedom. It's a wonderful way to release the suffering that otherwise would really be required if loss were real, if things should be different. Forever conflict. Yeah.
Andrew.
Yes.
Experienced a moment of grace recently in this idea we've talked about, which I never understood until just this week. But I am the thing I seek.
Yes.
You had us do this little garden exercise a bunch where we could create a place in our mind where we could go meditate or just to lay our problems down. And in my altar, in my garden, like there was always this blue light.
Nice.
And it just was. And And I found myself always calm in that, always sure. And so I went there kind of this week, and it was just a real, like, I felt like, okay, I'm going to, you know, receive something. And then, ultimately I realized that I am the thing that I seek, that like, the yearning to be loved, the yearning to be free, or peace, or
yes.
all of that, that yes. it's, I am that, and almost, it makes you cry, because you're, I can't explain it, I just felt really, and I feel like it's the one power.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
That's beautiful, Julie. Mm-hmm. Because this is an awakening that when you recognize that the desire for an infinite love could only be experienced by the infinite desire for it. And you see the circle. The infinite desire creates the infinite love. It would require the infinite receptacle to receive it. But that's your infinite desire. And now you can see how it turns back on yourself very soon. That you would have to be present for this love to be experienced. You were created as the thing you seek. And as the Course calls it, it's a journey without distance. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful realization. Mm-hmm.
And really what creates the chaos of this whole world is that we all have that circle of wanting, of that love and that knowledge within us.
Yes.
We all have that light, and it's always pulling at us. So yes. the more that we resist it, the more chaotic the world becomes in our own minds.
Yes.
And so we, the lucky ones in this room that realize that and can identify the difference, have the ability to, you know, sometimes gracefully let go and understand that we're in this circle of love. But most people don't have that, I think, and they're just caught up in this chaos because they don't understand that separation and that darkness.
Yes, yes.
We don't feel alone. As we tell our thoughts and our minds, mm-hmm. everyone is healed.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah, and it's so innocent that
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone is healed within our world, which is everyone.
Yes.
But realistically, we are a separate world. So yes. the separate people are not all healed because we heal. They have to find their own healing, their yeah. own... They have to get in touch with their own light that is our light, but it's very deep and confusing,
yes.
and I understand it, but I can't explain.
You will not heal them.
That's brilliant.
You will heal you about them.
They have to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
can do it.
You will heal you about them. You right. will not heal them.
Right.
Right. Right.
That's
not easy to be able to say.
And now I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Kim. That was brilliant. I mean, I really, no kidding, because I get what you're saying completely, and that has always been somewhat theoretical for me. Yeah. That made it real.
Yeah, yeah, it's not about others.
Mm-hmm. If you're up for it, there are no others.
Right.
So you kind of look past the perceived faults of these instruments that you put in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Instruments of your own despair.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. And so you look past all that.
Yes, past it, beyond.
To the light within them.
Yep, that's right.
And
you see the samenesses instead of the differences. You can
right.
you can see the differences, or from the same perspective, see the sameness.
Mm-hmm. And the more and more closer you get beyond the physical appearances.
Yes, mm-hmm. and the sameness becomes the real part. And the differences are the made-up parts.
Right.
It's a whole shift in perception. It is indeed a miracle. Mm-hmm. It is a shift in perception about where the body's eyes and the ego would see differences and struggle and competition. Now, what we call Christ vision, from the same perspective, sees the similarities. It says, chapter 15, it says, make this year different by making it all the same.
Just gonna say.
Mm-hmm. It's just telling you, just giving you just a tease to be able to push yourself toward a unity perspective. And it is what we call the Holy Spirit. That would be that part of your mind that can show you that in any circumstance.
That would involve deprogramming the ego.
It would involve a deprogramming.
Or just letting go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the letting go. It's not all this trying and, you know.
It's easier said than done.
This analytical process. It's a letting go.
But you're going to have to do some serious miracle work. Otherwise, you're just band-aiding and pretending that things are okay, and I'm going to let go for now, and I'll pick it up tomorrow, and I'll worry tomorrow. Wow! I mean,
just if it was easy as just saying, I'm just going to let go, I would be happy all the time.
Yes.
So I would know how to do it, but I don't. And I have to go through certain things to let those things within me die so that I can move to a new level of understanding. I have to let go of these things and I have to walk through them. It's not fun. Can't just let go. I have to understand it. So.
A new level of understanding. Okay, let's just take that phrase for a second. Okay? A new level of understanding. What is Kim talking about? What does it take to be able to release the habitual thoughts of suffering, poor me, jealousy.
Please tell me.
Even to get to forgiveness.
Transcendence.
What?
A little willingness.
What kind of willingness to do what?
What are we trying to do?
How could you possibly find peace in a place that continues, just read the newspaper tomorrow, which hasn't been printed yet, but I'll guarantee you, there's going to be a good load of suffering in there. Turn to page 97 in the text. Page 97. Paragraph 6. Just for a little taste of why this book has so many pages. What is it trying to do that takes 1,300 pages? Here's a hint. Paragraph 6. It says, how else can you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing you are not there? I told you this is radical. Let's read that paragraph. Who's up to read? Stephen.
How else can you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing that you are not there? You cannot be anywhere God did not put you, and God created you as part of Him. That is both where you are and what you are. It is completely unalterable. It is total inclusion. You cannot change it now or ever. It is forever true. It's not a belief, but a fact. Anything that God created is as true as He is. Its truth lies only in its perfect inclusion in Him, who alone is perfect. To deny this is to deny yourself and Him, since it is impossible to accept one without the other.
Yeah, so there.
So there.
Take that.
I mean, it says it. What else do you need?
I am of God and that's the only truth.
That's right. That's right. You really
only
need to know.
If only we believed it.
If only you believed it.
Yes.
Why won't you?
But if you don't believe it, it's because you're busy thinking something else.
I'm being facetious. I do believe it, but I don't believe it all the time. Otherwise, I wouldn't behave the way I do, and I wouldn't be upset, and I wouldn't have to let go. If only I believed it all the time, I wouldn't have all these other things.
Wouldn't that be a matter of just plain consciousness?
That's true.
In other words, you have to be conscious to remember who you are and where you are and that you are of God.
That's right. Just do that. Write that down so you don't forget it, and then do it. I love it. Yeah.
All through the day.
You bet. You know what you need though to do that?
Yes.
Facing tomorrow, and the newspaper and the car with the deer still sticking out of the hood, whatever problem you got going on there. You know what you would need to do that?
The deer bounced. I didn't see it.
But you would need a miracle to shift out of victimhood, to shift out of problems that might happen tomorrow, to just be God present now. Because the world will continue to try to push you right back into a suffering body as soon as possible. It's not required. It would just be your mind objecting to what's going on.
I've had moments where I've been able to just drop it.
Busted, right? Yeah. Busted!
There you go.
That proves that, quote, reality leaks all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's made up. The world is made up. Mm-hmm. he's busted. He's busted now and forever. It's so true. Seek no further than your own thoughts. This is your life. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we have paragraph 5 on page 425. I think, Ray, you're up for that. And this is, you know, calling it like it is.
Mm-hmm. 425 in the...
Oh, in the back.
In the workbook.
Oh, yeah, in the workbook, in the back of the book.
We're finishing what is...
Yeah, we just have more paragraph to go, but it's a good one.
Okay, I think I got the right one here. You will identify with what you think will make you safe.
Yeah, stop right there. It's just saying it. It's just black and white. If you wonder how you work, A Course in Miracles is just a matter of fact pointing out your behavior. Mm-hmm. You will identify with what you think will make you safe. Mm. Busted! And if you're feeling fearful, you think that somehow fearful and body is going to make you happy.
Whoops.
Whoops. Yeah. Oh, no, you don't really want to be fearful. Yeah. So you need a miracle to switch out of what you think will make you safe. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
Whatever it may be, you will believe that it is one with you. Your safety lies in truth and not in lies. Love is your safety. Fear does not exist. Identify with love and you are safe. Identify with love and you are home. Identify with love and you find yourself.
Oh yeah.
Wow, what a poem that is.
Isn't it? Wow. The reason why the book has so many pages and says these things over and over again is because it knows of your addiction. How deep you identify not with love. How much you do not think you're safe. But it says right here you are. Okay, look at page...
Wait a second. You just said something. It was like we can... I lost it for a second. Let's hope I get that because it was important for me. If we're not identifying with love,
yes,
then we're not safe.
Yes.
Because anything can happen that makes us feel unsafe. And feeling unsafe is why we're not safe.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what's my problem with that statement? Saying to myself, I identify with love, doesn't make me identify with love.
Good.
That's my problem.
Good job. Mm-hmm. You spoke the truth for all of us. Mm-hmm.
Saying that I identify with love does not make me identify with love.
Thank you, Luann. This is why so many people don't understand what the forgiveness is in A Course in Miracles. And if they once they think they get it, it doesn't work anyway. So why try? And that's because They're just saying, identify with love. They're saying, I forgive you. It sounds like this. When it's not Course in Miracles forgiveness, when it's the false forgiveness, it sounds like this. I forgive you for hurting me. I forgive you for being such an SOB and so selfish that you did something that hurt me and you took from me. But I forgive you. And I'm happy now that I forgive you for being so harmful to me and taking from me something valuable.
I feel better about myself anyway.
Yeah. This is a saying of trying to put a Band-Aid on a bleeding wound. To say that I'm identifying with love is not actually identifying with love. Very, very key. To just say, I do not want to punish you, is not forgiveness.
Well, what forgiveness would be completely letting go of whatever it is that you're upset or angry about.
Deception.
Like, you know, if you're
shifting your,
you know. If you're blaming something for somebody, you stop doing that. You know, you let go of whatever it is that you know, that you're holding in your mind.
Right. So that's forgiveness is a release. Go ahead.
Well, that whole contraption of that kind of stuff is just lives in the mind.
Yes. Yes. Now the mind is trying to make sense of the world.
Yeah.
And if it thinks it has a lock on how to make sense, and that fear is the way, it will continue to fear. We have to break that cycle that fear pays off. The only way to find joy in a joyless place is to realize you're not there.
So for me, that means the only way that I know what I am is when I'm feeling love. And not thinking about it, just in it.
In it. Okay? In love, true love, it's like being in water.
Okay.
Where you aren't making it.
Right.
You find yourself completely immersed mm-hmm. in love, like you are of one power. Like you are experiencing love everywhere. You see the love everywhere. You no longer see the differences. You see the sameness. Mm-hmm. You're now literally in love. Even in the ugliness. What you used to call death is somehow, that's love too. That's love doing the dissolving aspect of love. Rather than the growing aspect of love. That's all. Right?
What is it about that that you're saying that makes me want to cry?
Yes.
I think it's because that's what I want to be and I know I'm not.
But you know that this is what you can have.
I just have to figure out. Well, I don't have to figure it out. It won't work. It's not about thinking.
We need two different spellings of love.
Amen, sister.
Because they get very confused.
Amen.
And we try to say that we love in a God, in a Holy Spirit, in a Christ-minded experience, but we have not experienced that nearly as much as we have experienced love in this world,
right.
Which is a four-letter word.
Looking for love.
And so when we talk about love, when we in this room talk about love, I have to always define which one we're talking about.
Yes.
The one that we're talking about that is Christ-minded love is that total completeness of what we are. It is that true self that we are. And
yes.
It's not always easy to identify with that because yes. We're so caught in this world.
Yes.
But there's a trap though. Like there's a thing where you can start comparing what you're experiencing to what you think you should be experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And not just allowing whatever it is you're experiencing to just be what it is.
That's a being in the present.
Yeah.
You bet. It's so simple. There's a need to do nothing. Come back into the present moment and be not complaining with the inevitableness of the present moment. Then you're free.
It's like when you're talking about, you're saying that you see like the possibility of being a certain way that you're not currently. I say that you are that currently.
but your ego is not letting you see that.
I feel like when I can say that's true, and I believe it, but it doesn't feel like it's true.
It's because you're comparing it to something else.
When you're in your Christ-minded state of love, you're not thinking that you are anything. You are just being, and you're at peace.
That's it. So when
everything else is ego.
That's it. That's what I think what Walt was talking about with no thought. It's just no thought of worry, no thought of future, just being now. Absolutely, this is the essence of freedom, and it is the door to infinity.
And the difference between the two loves is one is a verb and one is a state of being.
Turn to page 346. And this is kind of a nice way. We'll probably have just enough time in the meeting to read this. In the workbook, thanks. 346 in the workbook. This is a beautiful little thing we haven't seen for a long time. Probably since Dick and Lemire were here. That's the last time we were here. Julie, you up to
read?
346. I don't know that, 346 in the workbook.
In the lesson.
What paragraph?
Oh, paragraph 8.
Lesson 184.
You ready, Julie? Right?
Yes.
Would you start reading? Or just read 8, 9, and 10 will how to get us there.
Think not you made the world. Illusions, yes. But what is truth in earth and heaven is beyond your naming. When you call upon a brother, it is to his body that you make appeal. His true identity is hidden from you by what you believe he really is. His body makes response to what you call him, for his mind consents to take the name you give him as his own. And thus, his unity is twice denied, for you perceive him separate from you, and he accepts this separate name as his.
And you know how this separation dance that you just described works? If he's got a body, and you've got a body, and they got different names, it's perfect! Separation just continues on. Kim, next one.
It would indeed be strange if you were asked to go beyond all symbols of the world, forgetting them forever. Yet we're asked to take a teaching function. You have need to use the symbols of the world a while. But be you not deceived by them as well. They do not stand for anything at all. And in your practicing, it is this thought that will release you from them. They become but means by which you can communicate in ways the world can understand. But what you recognize is not the unity where true communication can be found.
And the symbols of the world we're talking about is bodies, mm-hmm. and names, and personalities, and separation vehicles. Now we're going to use them. Masako.
You know, this all sounds like the special relationship.
It doesn't it?
That's why we're so afraid of love. We're really afraid of special.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. Well, we love the idea of special love working. Special love means you're special forever. And you'll be protected by the other special one forever.
Special means suffering.
But you know better. Now you know better.
I don't even feel the least bit like attracted to that flavor anymore. As you're saying it, I'm not going, oh yeah. I'm not like, no. You got me wrong.
Good, good. Good, Wendy.
Just the way you put it. I thought you could sell it.
It doesn't sound like chocolate anymore.
Yeah, the love that we're afraid of is the all-consuming love of unity that says there's no limit and that you would release all your boundaries so that you could share infinitely. The door to infinity is in. That, to an ego who's got an agenda for the separate body, can be scary. But if you've tried it long enough and you're done with the limits and the imprisonment, of a little hamster wheel, a hamster ball, there's a better way. And this inclusive love that is the true love now is much more interesting. Yeah, let's get the next paragraph in.
Thus, what you need are intervals each day in which the learning of the world becomes a transitory phase, a prison house from which you go into the sunlight and forget the darkness. Here you understand the word, the name, which God has given you, the one identity which all things share, the one acknowledgement of what is true, and then step back to darkness. Not because you think it is real, but only to proclaim its unreality in terms which still have meaning in the world that darkness rules.
Walt, is your eyebrow raising over there? From a few months ago when you moved out of your place, your other place? You and I had a sharp discussion about this.
Yeah.
Now, in your mind, you can step back into the darkness, not because you think that it is real, but only to proclaim its unreality in terms that still have meaning. In the world that darkness rules. Isn't that beautiful, the way this paragraph starts? Kind of hinting, hey, a little meditation, a little nod to God each day might be good. It says, thus what you need are intervals each day in which the learning of the world becomes a transitory phase. It's a prison house from which you go into the sunlight and forget the darkness. And that you do in your meditation just by coming into the very present moment between your breaths. Infinity will be found there. Your true identity will be found there. This is how you escape the world. It's how you be in the world but not of the world. It's a step out of time. It only takes an instant, but you'll be forever changed by that freedom that you can experience, especially if you're in pain. When the body's in pain and screaming, and you can step out of it in your mind, Oh my God, the freedom now is clear. How much power is in your mind.
And then how you taught freedom. Yourself how powerful you really are as a child of God by experiencing the effects of that.
Yes.
It's there and it's ready.
You can never forget that. You can't go back.
It's waiting. That's right. Okay, so before we close, let's jump back and finish up our paragraph. So go to page 412 in the text, and let's just glance at that before we move on next week. So this is paragraph 3 on 412. We only have a couple of minutes, so I'm going to kind of rush through this. It says, the Holy Spirit's messengers are sent far beyond the body, calling the mind to join in Holy Communion and be at peace. Such is the message that I gave them for you. These are the messengers. It is only the messengers of fear that see the body. For the messengers of fear look for what can suffer. Is it a sacrifice to be removed from what can suffer? The Holy Spirit does not demand that you sacrifice the hope of the body's pleasure. Well, that's because, the body has no hope of pleasure. From the perspective of this awakened mind, that is Jesus, he understands the body is a dead end. But neither can it bring you fear of pain. Pain is the only sacrifice the Holy Spirit asks, and this he would remove. The Holy Spirit is the antidote to the physical addiction. Just as we say to you need do nothing, is something you actually have to do. Because the default is do something, and then something more, and then worry, and then fear. And then that's the default in this world. Needing to do nothing is actually quite an active an active pursuit. Mm-hmm. The reward, though, is infinity.
So fear could speak, it would ask, how can I suffer?
Nice.
Would speak, it would say, yeah, that's right.
Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. There is only one source of your release. There's only one source of your personal joy. There's only one source of your freedom. There's only one source of you being able to experience love. And it is right here now with you. When you choose to just be present and start looking for the one power, start witnessing the one power instead of the competition of two powers or more. This kind of choice brings you to your infinite freedom. And it's not some other place or some other time. You don't have to die and then suddenly wake up in something called heaven to understand the very purpose of creation is happening even now. And that is your true self. It is present. It's present. It's always present. And it's just waiting for you to come inside, in you, in the very present moment, and discover expanse. There's no room for suffering because there's no time there. Did you know that suffering takes time? Step out of time, no suffering. Good exploration. Good ego busting. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.